Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Epistle of St. James, the first chapter, where we read, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Please be seated. If I remember correctly, I was in my late teens when a pastor told me that whatever sin was my greatest temptation at that point in my life, I would continue to struggle with that very sin throughout my life. Well, I don't know whether the warning holds true for everyone, but for me, this is most certainly true. Every day, you and I are running up against temptation, from the lure of the cookie jar to the grudge that we so stubbornly hold on to, refusing to forgive. From the gossip that we can't wait to share with someone else, to the television and internet filth that attacks us quietly as we sit in the privacy of our homes. Temptations come from everywhere. They come whispering threats, and they whisper seductions to pull us away from putting our faith in our Heavenly Father. Now, some of those temptations we all know are obvious, but some of them come ambiguous and catch us by surprise. But each and every one of these temptations has one thing in common. Each one presents you with an alternative to loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. They make you say, "Wow, look at this option. It sure is a whole lot better than trusting in God. I can have a whole lot more fun this way." Well, we're at war with ourselves. We are at war with the world. And behind every battle and every skirmish is the same person, the same opponent. His name is Satan. Jesus says he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The father of lies showed up in the Garden of Eden. He deceived Adam and Eve. And he is the same liar that tempts you and I. He deceives you and I into using the same Adam and Eve type blame tactics. Eve blamed the serpent. Adam blamed God. Well, you and I like to blame other people. We say, well, hey, it's on primetime TV. It must be okay to let the kids watch, and for me as well. The government says it's legal. It must be all right. Or many times we just blame God. It's not God, my fault that God created me with this desire. If it was wrong, he wouldn't have created me to enjoy it so much. It wouldn't feel so good. But God tempts no one. Now, don't be mistaken, in our Old Testament text, God did not tempt Abraham, but he tested him when he told him to sacrifice his only son. It was a test of Abraham's faith. So God does not tempt you, but he does allow tests in your life. And you are tested by trials of external circumstances. And each of these tests are to help draw you closer to faith in your Father in heaven. that you might trust him. Trust his good and perfect will for your lives. God allows trials from external circumstances, but the temptation comes from your internal struggle against sin. And St. James makes this clear in our text. He says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." We know that the wages of sin is death. We can look back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. You remember, Eve saw the fruit. She saw it was good for food. It was a delight to her eyes, and she desired it. She and Adam ate of the fruit, and they both died. Now, they didn't keel over right there in a physical death, but at that very moment, they died a death much worse. And to illustrate this death, in his book, Thanks, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Pastor William Whedon points us to the prodigal son to illustrate this death. The prodigal son asked for his inheritance, and he went off to a foreign land where he squandered it all away on reckless living. When he finally came to his senses and came home, his father held a great celebration, much to the chagrin of his brother. But the father said to the son, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." To illustrate, Whedon writes, "Death is wandering away from your father. Death is losing the home that God has prepared for you. Death is exiling you from his embrace and love. Death is not non-existence, but rather existence in a faraway country that is a long way from home." Yes, you and I and all mankind are dead in our trespasses. We are dead and exiled from our Heavenly Father. But God would not let death have its way. God sent someone to rescue you and revive you back to life. In our gospel lesson this morning, in chapter 1, St. Mark records three huge events in six short verses. First, Jesus is baptized at the Jordan. He has come to save all those who are dead in exile. Excuse me. So he is first washed along with all the other sinners, because he will be the substitute. He who has no sin will become sin, taking their place, taking your place and my place, bearing the sin of all mankind and putting it to death on the cross. Immediately following his baptism, the Holy Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. 40 days and 40 nights, no water and food, continually harassed by Satan, every sin imaginable to mankind, every temptation imaginable to mankind, every temptation that you will ever face, Jesus resists by the word of God. Why does he do it? He does it in your stead because he knows that you and I cannot resist temptation. He does it to rescue sinners from the death and exile from the Father. After his victory in the wilderness, Jesus goes into Galilee and begins to preach, saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." For sure, the kingdom is at hand. This is Lent. So we focus, repent, and believe the gospel. God in the flesh of man stands among people who daily sin much, bringing them the good news, bringing the word of truth, the gospel message that he has come to take away your sins. He has come to die on the cross in your stead, putting a crown of thorns on his head so that one day you might put on your crown of life. Our text says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. You see, 3 days after he died on the cross, he rose again, declaring victory over sin, death, and the devil. He won precious gifts for you, the good gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation. He has come to give you these gifts, and these gifts outshine and outlast any mere temptation that you will ever come upon in this life, any enticement, any desire you may have. Yes, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand because your king is here. The King Jesus is present in your baptism every day, because it is in baptism where you were born from above, with the perfect gift of the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. He breathed life into your dead body, making you a new creation. You no longer have to live according to the old Adam and give in to temptation, but you can reflect what God has done in your life through Christ Jesus. The King is present with you in the preaching of his gospel, giving you his word of truth that Christ has suffered God's entire wrath for sin that has exiled you from the Father. And by his grace, he has given you the gift of reconciliation with the Father, returning you home from exile. You were dead, but now you are alive. The King is present in his Holy Supper, giving you his body and blood to sustain you during your trials and your temptations, keeping you in the true faith to life everlasting. You see, God's truth never changes. He tempts no one, but of his own will, he brings life to you through the truth of his word. Of his own will, he graciously gives every good gift, even while you and I deserve nothing. He has given you the Holy Spirit to intercede for you during times of weakness. He has given his only Son, who in turn gave his life as a ransom for those who have sinned. He gives you the promise of the resurrection. So while this battle of temptation is a daily war, Christ has won the victory. He has won the victory so that he may give you the crown of life. And that is the perfect gift given to you by the Father. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.